Okay. All right. I am pleased to greet you today with Merry Christmas. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Usually, we bring the kids from Sunday school into church, but today we're going to bring the church into Sunday school. So you guys get to participate in a Sunday school class, which should be pretty good, I think, today. And if you want to look at your Bibles, we'll be in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4. You can turn there. If any of you kids has a gift for the kids from Mozambique, you can put it under the tree over here. I don't think anybody does, but you can if later if you see that. So here's my question for you kids. Okay? Did you open presents already? Who opened presents? Okay, so almost everybody opened presents. Good, good, good. Did you get everything that was on your Christmas list?
No, not everything.
Not everything. What did you get? What did you get, Sean? What did you get on your Christmas list? A Bowser Hot Wheels track with a Mario Kart?
No, yeah.
Okay, good. Oh, awesome. What else? Who else got something on their Christmas list? What did you get on your Christmas list?
I got three waste car sets.
Three waste car sets. Good. And it shoots the car forward. That is a very involved answer. Thank you. What about you? What did you get? Miriam, what did you get?
I got an Amazon
fishing set. A fishing set. Awesome. Awesome. Did anybody get something that they didn't expect? That was like something completely unexpected? What did you get that was completely unexpected?
An iPad.
Oh, my goodness. An iDevice. Don't tell Nathaniel. So today though, we're going to consider the Christmas list of the people of God at the time of the first Christmas. We're going to talk about what was on their Christmas list. And I have some gifts here that we might open to see what those might be. So we're going to look at that. Because the people of Israel kind of had things on their Christmas list too. And we're going to talk about that. So as parents and grandparents, we all love to give good gifts to our children. And God is no different. And he wants what is best for his children. He wants what's best for us. And sometimes the things we ask for aren't exactly what we get. And so we're going to look at that today. So I have a couple gifts. So kids, should I unwrap this super huge one first? Yeah. Oh. All right, who wants to guess what it is? What is it? A what? A Batman toy. A very elongated Batman toy. What else? What could it be? A flute. A flute. Yes? A gun. All kinds of good answers. Good answer. Should I open it up? I'm going to open it up. All right. Hold on. Let's see what it is. Okay. It is not. Whoa. Okay. So is that unexpected? That seems unexpected. It's not a gun, but it's certainly dangerous. A sword. That's crazy. Why would a sword be the perfect gift of Christmas? Do you think is this the perfect gift of Christmas? Who says this is the perfect gift of Christmas? Nobody. Oh, so some people out there. Okay, good. You're all wrong. This is not the perfect gift of Christmas. Now, anger, violence, opposition is not what God brought on Christmas Day, right? But surprisingly, this is kind of what was on people's Christmas list, which is strange. Let me see if I can explain that. So a lot of people at the time of Israel thought that they knew the Messiah was coming, right? Messiah means anointed one. And the Bible had talked about it for a long, 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 long time. As a matter of fact, even back as far as Genesis, Isaiah, Deuteronomy, even the first book of the Bible, Genesis, talked about the Messiah coming. Talked about that. And it had been a long time since the Israelites had heard anything from God. 400 years since the last prophets had spoke. And they kind of got confused about what Messiah would do. And by the time Jesus was born, the Romans were in charge. And this is what they used to keep the peace. They used a sword. They were an army. They were an occupying army. And so there was a lot of things. So the people of Israel thought, hey, when God sends his Messiah, he's going to be a warrior. He's going to bring a sword. And they remembered Isaiah 9, 4, and 5, where God promised the Messiah would defeat their enemies, defeat their oppressors. Isaiah says that the Messiah will break the rod of the oppressor, and the Messiah would destroy the yoke of burden that was holding down the people. And so they thought, hey, God's going to send a warrior. He's going to send a warrior. And that warrior is going to kill all the Romans and kick them out. And he's going to bring about happiness for Israel. And they've been waiting 1,000 years since the kingdom of David. And they wanted a warrior like David to come in with his mighty strong arm and a sword and wipe out the Romans. But is that what God gave them?
No.
Who thinks that's what God gave them? Nobody. That's not what God did. You know what they got?
What?
A little bitty baby. A little bitty baby. Now, does that seem like a warrior?
No.
Jesus. Very good. Good answer. Jesus. Right? That wasn't on their list. That wasn't on their list at all. A little baby? But they should have known because in Isaiah 9:6 it talks about it. And sure enough, in our story today, in our Bibles, in Luke chapter 2, we're going to read about this baby that came. So if you're there, read. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2, verses 4. I'm going to read it to you guys, okay? Here we go. It says this, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a
manger."
Yeah, manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Joseph, Mary, a little baby. Where's the soldier? Where's the warrior?
Nowhere.
Exactly. There is no warrior. He didn't come from the sky with a sword in his hand. Take that back. In Revelation 19, he does that, but that's later on, not in this part of the story. But here he comes as a helpless baby, the Messiah sent by God as a baby boy. So is the sword a perfect gift of Christmas? No, the gift is not a sword, because God didn't send a conqueror of the enemies of Israel. He sent a savior to conquer sin. So did God give them what they wanted? He didn't. He didn't do that because it wasn't what was best. So if that's not the best gift of Christmas, maybe what? Maybe this package?
Maybe.
This one? Maybe?
No, no, no. Absolutely.
You're going with a no?
Maybe.
Is that because I have 3 points?
Yeah.
Should I open this one?
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to guess what's in this one?
Bible.
It's a Bible. It's a what? Karis? It's a Bible. Lots of Bible guesses. What is it?
A Bible.
It's a Bible. Okay. That's good. What is it? It's a Bible. I'm liking the theme, but that you're all wrong. Anybody want to guess not a Bible? Yeah? It's an action figure. No, it's not an action figure either. Let's open it up. Okay, hold on. Let's see. I taped it way too secure, which was a poor choice. Oh, okay. This makes more sense. A crown? A crown. Wow. So that kind of makes more sense, doesn't it? We're getting somewhere. Surely this must be the best gift of Christmas. A king, right? Well, the Bible says that God's going to send a king and he sends the Messiah, right? The prophet Micah said so. He said God would send a ruler over Israel. And certainly Isaiah spoke of that too, right? In Isaiah 9:7. We're getting somewhere. What? Put it on my head? No. I am definitely not the king that was sent during Christmas. He sent a ruler, right? He sent the throne of David. That's a king, right? Right? But let me ask you some questions. I have 3 questions. Okay, if you raise your hand, I'll call on you. Question number one. Question number one. Who are a king's mother and father?
Me.
Nope. Me is the incorrect answer, but close. Thank you for participating.
Mary and Joseph.
Okay, well, that was Jesus's. Those were Jesus's parents. Yes, good answer. That's the right answer. Wrong question. What? Who are the king? Who are a king's mother and father? If you're a prince, who are your parents?
A king
and a queen. Excellent. That's right. A king and a queen. So, question number two: what kind of clothes does a king wear?
A robe.
One of those fancy robes with like fur.
Stinky robe.
A stinky robe? No. A robe. A fancy robe. Right? An awkward bathrobe, I would call it, but glitzy. Right? And a crown. And a crown. Question number three. Where is a king born? Is a king born in a what? Where? In a castle. In a castle. King's born in a castle. So are those things we see in the story today?
No.
No. We don't see any of those things, right? Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is, Dave, how far is it from Jerusalem?
Six.
Thank you. And it's a little unimportant town just outside of Jerusalem. There's nothing going on in Bethlehem. It's not a capital city. It's not an important place. It wasn't Jerusalem. It wasn't a big hustle and bustle city. It was a nowhere place. Didn't have the temple. Does that sound like where king's born? No. And the Bible tells us that Jesus wasn't born in a hospital like we would be born today, but Jesus was born and laid in a what?
A manger.
And what's that?
It's in a food trough.
A food trough. It's a horrible thing to lay a baby in, right? It says that in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. So a manger is probably a cave. It's probably just a stinky, smelly place with a bunch of animals. Does that sound like a place where a king should be? No. And fancy clothing? Did he have fancy clothing? He just was wrapped in cloths. And his parents were who? Mary and Joseph. And Joseph was just a carpenter, but he loved God. And Mary was just a young girl, but she loved God. But they were plain, ordinary people. Does that sound like the people that would have a baby that's born a king? No, not right at all, right? And what about, well, I mean, there's a pretty fancy birth announcement, right? The birth announcement was fancy. Let me read this to you. Okay, if you hear the word angel, I want you to raise your hand in the air. Don't say anything, just raise your hand in the air when you hear the word angel. Okay, kids, here we go. And this is Luke chapter 2, verses 8, right? Starting verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel, good job, of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, good, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So Israel wanted a king on the throne in Jerusalem, in all his finery and his robes and his glitter and his glitz. And they wanted a place to be ruling over themselves. But is that what God gave them? No. They got a Savior just wrapped in cloths and lying in a food trough. So the gift is not a crown. God didn't send an earthly king. Exactly. It's unexpected. Very well done. God didn't send an earthly king to rule over Israel, because even though they asked for a king to rule over Israel and make Israel a mighty nation, that wasn't what was best for them. So if the sword isn't a perfect gift and the crown's not a perfect gift, you think it might be this one?
No?
How many vote yes, this is the one? I want to remind you, this is my third point. This is also the last one. What do you think it is? Who wants to guess?
A Batman toy.
Batman toy. Very consistent. I like that. What? Who wants to guess?
Baby Jesus.
It's baby Jesus? No. Hold on.
Baby
you. Okay, let me open it. It's kind of a humble little package, isn't it? That's strange. What is this?
A nail?
What does a nail have to do with Christmas? Yeah, that's true. Exactly. You got it. Let's swap. You can preach. Okay, did anybody think about a nail? Did anybody guess a nail? No. No, maybe I'm forgetting the story, but if you hear the word nail, I want you to stand up, okay? I'm going to say the story right now. If you hear the word nail in the story, I want you to stand up. No, sit down, and if I say nail, you stand up. Here we go, ready? This is Luke 2, 15 through 18. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Did anybody hear anything about a nail?
No.
I didn't hear anything about a nail either. We see baby in a swaddling cloth. We see Mary and Joseph and angels, but no nail. Did anybody in all Israel have a nail on their Christmas list?
No.
No, they didn't. Nobody had that. But here's the interesting thing. The perfect gift is not a sword. The perfect gift is not a crown. But the perfect gift might be a nail. That's strange, isn't it? Because God knew then what he knows now. He knows then what he knows now, that what we need is actually a Savior. Not a warrior, not a king, but a Savior. Very good. Thank you. So that's the perfect gift of Christmas. Let me see if I can explain it. So the problem is this. The people of Israel had a problem. You know what that problem was? They weren't following God. They weren't doing what God said. So the Bible has a fancy word for that. It calls it sin, right? So sin is when you don't do what God wants you to do, or you do what God doesn't want you to do. And that's what they were doing. And so they had this problem because who doesn't have sin? God. God doesn't have sin. If God doesn't have sin, can he have sin with him? No. So they have a problem because they have sin, but God doesn't, and God's the perfect judge, right? The Bible says flat out that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. So everybody's sinned. That's a big problem. And God has to punish sin because he's the perfect judge. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like a Christmassy message, does it? No. It doesn't sound like a Christmassy message. But I'll bring back to joy. It'll come back to joy, I promise you. Punish doesn't sound good, but here's what God did. He chose to give us a Savior. He chose to give us somebody to save us. And it has something to do with a nail, right? Because what happened was God didn't send a warrior, but he sent a Savior. And that Savior is going to die on a cross. Maybe nailed the cross with a nail, kind of like this. He's going to die for us because somebody had to be punished for the sins, and we needed somebody who was perfect, and so God sent his son Jesus to do that for us because God so loved us that he gave his only son to pay the price with his life. And that is amazing. That is the unexpected gift of Christmas, and we only just need to accept that gift that he gave us. It's just like a present that we had here, right? We just need to take it. We don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. It's a gift that we get. That's why it's so unexpected. You know what I'm saying? You just have to accept it and believe. So for the death that Jesus died was for his... Contain. For death he died was for sins for all, for your sins and my sins. And all we have to do is take that perfect gift. When Jesus died on the cross for you and me, it's really kind of interesting. He conquered sin, right? So in fact, when we took this gift, we get the gift of the crown and we get the gift of the sword too. How? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered sin. He was the warrior that killed sin and death for us. And when we get the crown, we get to crown Jesus in our lives, and he gets to be the King of Kings for us, right? All the bad guys, kind of, yes. Keep tracking. So God gave us that gift of the nail, but Jesus died for us, but we also get the gift of a king, and we get the gift of a warrior who conquered sin for us. So today, here on Christmas Day, I want you to remember that God doesn't give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. He always gives us what we need. Sometimes what we want is retribution or justice, but thankfully, God does not give us that. And sometimes what we want is to be in control, to be in power ourselves, but thankfully, God does not give us that either. What he gives us is grace and mercy and love and joy and salvation through the one brought on Christmas Day. Here's how the story concludes in Luke. Luke chapter 2. Hold on. Luke chapter 2, 19 and 20. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Mary ponders in her heart. The shepherds glorify God and praise him. Pondering and praise. May we do the same. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. All right. Bow your heads. Fold your hands. Close your mouths. Good job. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of your Son, that unexpected gift, Lord. I pray that we receive it into our hearts, Lord, and that you become our King, and that you become the warrior for us that conquers sin and leads us throughout our lives. We praise you for Christmas, and we thank you with all our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.